On Midwest Week, the effect of Illinois' budget problems on human service programs. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Kiana Cepeda-Miller, reporter for the Better Government Association in Chicago. First of all, Kiana, remind us, what is the Better Government Association?
We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit, full-service investigative watchdog organization. I happen to be on the reporting side of that, of the organization.
So you all looked at human service programs in Illinois. What kind of services are we talking about that have gotten some kind of state funding?
So these are social services that help prevent homelessness, fight addiction, give kids a safe and supportive environment to spend time after school. They help autistic individuals from lower-income families access necessary therapy, and they also support immigrants integrating into society, just to name a few.
Okay. And how did these agencies survive during the two-year budget impasse between the governor and General Assembly?
Well, their fate really hung in the balance. During the entire 2016 fiscal year, they received no funding. And even prior to that, their fate was essentially called into question when many of them were singled out for cuts in the governor's 2015 Good Friday massacre reductions, as they were known among government circles. While those funds were in fact reinstated, it really contributed to a climate of uncertainty during that time. They had to take some serious measures. They had to dip into reserves, cut back on staff, reduce salaries.
And what are a couple of the agencies that you studied?
So one example would be the Immigrant Coalition for Refugee Rights, the Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights. They are among the agencies that depend on these funding streams for certain programs and services they offer. I spoke to several other coalitions as well, including one that's kind of an umbrella group that represents youth programs, as well as another that represents various autism services.
Okay, so now that the budget impasse between the governor and General Assembly is over, is everything back the way it was before and wonderful again, or maybe not?
No, and that really goes back to the issue of the uncertainty that the budget standoff caused for these service providers. Now they know, and many express to me that they're grateful to know they're getting something, even if it is at a reduced amount, because at least they can plan to some degree. But for some organizations, this is really the last straw. After following 2 years of uncertainty, not being able to plan, not knowing what will happen next year, really contributes to a climate where they can't make hiring decisions. They can't work on retaining staff and growing their business. It also jeopardizes funding from private sources such as foundations, who really aren't interested in throwing good money after bad, not knowing whether the state government believes that this is something that they will consistently support.
Now, you mentioned in your story that the governor made some cuts in the budget that was approved over the summer. Were these cuts to some of these agencies a surprise, or did they have some inkling that this might happen?
Everyone seemed to be waiting on pins and needles, so I would not necessarily characterize them as a surprise. It was an open question whether these programs would receive contracts, or whether the organizations, I should say, that receive funding under these programs would receive contracts at all from the state, just given that they have also frequently been targeted in the governor's budget proposals, including the one he submitted for this year. That, of course, was not the budget that lawmakers enacted, but given that they enacted their budget over his veto, many of these agencies were waiting to find out whether or not they would be funded at all by the state.
Now, is there some recourse for them? I mean, could the legislature restore some of these cuts if it wanted to?
Not as far as I or anyone I spoke with is aware. To my understanding, the governor isn't required to spend all the money lawmakers appropriate unless something in the law specifically mandates that he spend that full amount. Examples of that would be payments to state lenders, pension funds, programs operating under court order, but none of these programs fall under one of those categories. So he is free to do as he wishes with this particular funding.
Okay. Now, you mentioned in your story also, Kiana, that some agencies will try to go on without any funding from the state. Why is that, and will they be able to?
Well, unfortunately, when we say that they're going to go out without funding for the state, it doesn't really mean that they will be able to continue those particular programs. agencies often offer more than one program, so it doesn't mean that the agency itself would close, but it means that given that they rely so heavily on state funds for many of these programs, if they no longer feel that the state is a reliable partner, they may decide that it is time to just close up shop on that particular service because, as one of the providers I spoke with put it, it goes against every fiber of why they do what they do to close doors in families' faces.
And did you hear from any agencies that they were definitely going to close some program or stop providing some service? Have they made those decisions yet?
I did not hear directly from any agencies, but when I spoke with the coalition of youth service programs that I mentioned earlier, I was informed that many of them had conveyed that to the collaboration, that was something that they were considering.
Now, at a time of serious financial problems for the state of Illinois, is it realistic to expect that the state will support all of these programs, no matter how worthy most, if not all of them, are?
Well, it depends on who you ask. The governor has repeatedly stated that the budget lawmakers handed him is more than $1 billion out of balance and that he needs to cut back spending wherever he possibly can. Now, it was not within the purview of my story to evaluate whether or not these programs are the most effective ways for the state to be supporting its most vulnerable population. And the social service providers were not necessarily saying that they are the one and only way to provide these services. In some cases, that seems to be the case. But the point that I was trying to get across is that no one has really received an explanation as to why these are programs that have been singled out for cuts, or in some cases even elimination. There has not been a rationale offered by the administration to support those decisions.
And how about the General Assembly? Do you hear from, are any people going to come forward and try and champion some of the agencies that might be in their district or their city?
I had not spoken with any members of the General Assembly specific to programs within their area, but Representative Greg Harris, one of the chief architects of the budget and a Democrat, has really spoken out consistently on behalf of these programs and has pointed to what's going on, and I'm sure he will continue to do so.
And what have you heard from readers about this story, Kanna? Have you got many emails or letters or anything, or not?
I have not heard from any general readers at this point, but I have heard from a social service agency provider the other day who was curious to find out more about how I did the math, how I got these numbers, because he'd kind of been scratching his head too, just looking at what his agency had been informed of regarding their specific funding stream and trying to put two and two together. So he said it was helpful in helping him figure out what was going on.
And did he say that he would be able to continue, or it was too soon to know what might be in the future for his group?
He did not, but he's in conversation with the administration right now, trying to figure out what they will be getting in the end here.